Accession number 26730, Reel 2.
Matthew Collins, Reel 2. You mentioned the fact that you, as a dispatch rider, you were going all over Berlin, presumably in the British and American sectors, French sector. Can you describe, perhaps in a bit more detail, what your duties involved and also what you saw, what your impressions of Berlin were like at that time?
Well, Berlin, even in them days, there was a lot of Berlin was still destroyed. You had a lot of bomb buildings still not rebuilt even then. People didn't have a lot. But I didn't sort of deal with any dispatches to the French sector. That was the Tiergarten. Can't remember much. I've been like off duty in the American sector and the French sector, but most of my duties were to the army headquarters in Berlin, which would be in the British sector. There were four sectors: Russian, French, American and British. The people were pretty apathetic and sort of, on the other hand, glad to be getting this airlift going. Yeah. I always personally struck me how just a couple of years after I was fighting to the death, there was suddenly, we were all heroes to them.
Did you have much to do with the civilian population?
Well, being young and it, I suppose I socialised a bit, to a certain extent, but I didn't stop in camp all that much, because I like to go out, you know, so I picked up the language pretty good, very fast. So I was able to go out a bit and get out around. I made a few friends.
What sort of things did you do when you were in Berlin?
Well, there wasn't much actually to do outside. They had a big NAFI club, which had the women's voluntary services, the libraries up there, record libraries, music. You could go in there and play snooker, you drink beer, of course, eat tea, anything else. And then the rest of it was just going about sightseeing or that, or going to the lake. I used to do some canoeing up on the lake at Claddagh, which is up above the base at Gatto, when I was off duty in the summer.
Excuse me. Did you go to, I don't know if there were bars open in Berlin or cinemas?
There was. Gradually, it took a while to sort of build up, but gradually, they were gradually getting on their feet. There was always bars to go to, you know, cafes and that. Yeah, I used to go to some of them. But, no, I didn't go to the cinema much and then. They had cinemas on the camp, you know. But I used to just go different places and that and make a bit of journey where I could.
You said that Berlin was pretty badly damaged.
Oh yeah, still pretty bad.
What were your impressions of the population? I mean, you said they were having a pretty hard time of it.
Well, in Berlin, they were happy that all this food was coming in, and they were absolutely terrified of the Russians. They had a tremendous fear of the Russians, you see, which is understandable when you think what they did in Russia and what the Russians did when they took Berlin remained in their memory, because it was only just a few years after that, you see, that we're in the airlift. So they were glad of all that. But earlier, when I was on the other squadron before I went to Berlin, I'd been in places like Hanover, and that was very badly bombed as well. I mean, people lived in the cellars, and remarkably, they used to do up these cellars with wallpaper and all kind of stuff. They were quite inventive, but they didn't have a lot of food in that. But they would sort of, I believe, so the grapevine goes, do little raids into the Russian sectors and things like that, stealing things like potatoes and stuff like that. For a while, the average meal for most of the families, as early as 47, was maybe one meal a day, which would be a potato, kind of potato soup. But gradually they got on the fight.
Well, so, I mean, during the airlift period, power was an issue with it. There were power cuts and things in Berlin. Do you remember that?
Don't remember much detail about that, but there were massive loads of coal going in. There was coal planes as well, and food planes, and everything imaginable to sustain people was going in through the airplanes. But I don't remember details of the cuts and station anyway. I don't know what happened down in the city. I wasn't in the city all the time, so, you know.
You said it was very noisy at Gatter.
Oh, very noisy.
The night as well?
Oh, day and night went on. Yes, it went on day and night. You just, Morris, you just adjusted to it. That's just the way it was.
Were you at Gatter throughout the airlift up until May 1940?
Yes, I left. I went in, as I said, about June 48. I left in 1949, sometime in 49. I went to Lüneburg and then come back to England in 1950, around about March, I believe it was.
Did you get much, when you were in Gatter during the Berlin airlift, did you get much leave? Were you allowed out of Berlin?
I had one leave out of Berlin, which I had accrued because I hadn't taken any leave for about 18 months or something. So I had one long leave and flew out in a Dakota to Northolt, I believe it was, near Cambridge. And that was about, well, I think it was about 6 weeks. One leave and home in Glasgow, yeah.
You had 6 weeks leave?
Yeah, about that, I think it was.
How did you keep in contact with your family during the time you were in Berlin?
Oh, you just wrote letters. You got mail, you could write and stuff like that, and you just kept them up in the touch, like, you know. But then, you see, I was a regular, so I just accepted life as it was. Wrote home occasionally, stuff like that. I mean, but a lot of the National Service men that were there joined that. Well, they didn't. Some of them didn't go out much at all. They just kept writing home about wanting to get them mobbed.
Were there any Americans at the base in Gatter?
The Americans were at Tempelhof. They had their own station in that. I can't remember whether at time to time some might have come into Gatter. I can't remember in detail whether anybody did. But they had their own base and sectors in Tempelhof.
Did you have much to do with the Americans?
Oh, in the town we did. And I've been in there. Some of them used to come into our Naffy Club. And I used to have a few friends there, and we'd have a drink and they made chat together. And I've actually been in their bases in Berlin. You know, the difference was very notable how informal they were, you know. You would go in for a meal and the cook would be looking at you. Then I'd be in uniform saying, they'd look at your question and somebody would just chime in and say, it's just a mate of ours. Give him some grub. Very informal they were.
So was there a good relationship between British and the Americans?
One of the things that always struck me was when I was going in and out of this American sector and with some pals that I had, was the German girls that were girlfriends of the Americans, they learned English with an absolutely distinctive American accent. The girls that courted with the British soldiers in the British sector spoke a different type of English, obviously. It was so noticeable. They used to even wear the American Bobby Sox socks when you'd see them going waiting at the gate for their boyfriends and things like that. Oh, yeah, it was a good relationship.
Were you aware of the significance of the Berlin airlift at the time?
Oh, exactly. We were kept in an absolute state of residence, readiness rather, because one incident, say, of a plane getting shot down inside our corridor, could have spat anything. It was probably the nearest we were to another war before the Korean War.
And what did that mean in terms of your state of readiness?
Well, it meant that...
you had to take to the streets and fight off the Russians if they invaded.
It would have meant simply we'd have been at war. Yeah, the Russians were sort of very near. I mean, Berlin is in the Russian sector. It was then in the Russian sector. It was just something you lived with. I mean, I don't know what the National Service was struck, but we regular people, we had signed on, we were regulars, and that's it. We were prepared to fight. If you join up as a regular, you've got to take what comes along.
Were you ever visited by any politicians, British politicians, whilst you were in Qatar?
Yeah, there was one or two visits, I think, and I can't remember Air Secretary of State for Air and things like that. I can't remember in detail. They come and visited and had a bit of parade and that, you know, walk round. But not a lot. Can only remember about one time. Yeah.
So you were there for the whole airlift period?
Exactly, yeah.
What was it like being in Berlin at the end when the Russians realised that they...
Oh, yeah. Well, when they packed in and out, there was sort of celebrations and that, and there was sort of big do on the camp, I believe, a big dance and that, and all the various people around were there celebrating that. Just a state of happiness and relief that we had won and head back down. And life just carried on as a squadron.
What about actually in Berlin itself, off the base? Do you remember any celebrations or anything that marked the end of the blockade?
Yeah, there was parades and that, but I can't remember in detail. We've had dispute about whether I've been in some of the photos I've got, but I think I'm in one of them, but I can't remember the, because I'm not visible by face. Some of them, my kids think they see the back of my head and it might be me and it might not be me. But I've got photographs of victory celebrations at the end in Berlin. Yeah.
What was that like? What sort of celebrations were there?
Just a parade. All the big wigs up in a thing. But, you know, as I say, I can't remember in detail. It's all a very long time ago, you know. I quite enjoyed it probably because nothing happened. I would have enjoyed it if it had actually been a war. It's an open question, I suppose.
I just wondered if you actually went into Berlin and, I don't know, were there parties in the streets or anything like that? Do you remember?
No, I don't remember any detail on that. They were all happy, I suppose, you know.
I think you said you were sent to another German base after you left Qatar.
Yeah, we went to Lüneburg. The squadron went to Lüneburg and they were there a while. And then, see, I don't know what I left the squadron because when you've done your time, it's about 2.5+ years or something, was a tour of duty there, they posted you back individually. So the whole squadron didn't go with you. So I actually joined back to 63 Rifle Squadron, which is the parent squadron of the now Queen's Colour Squadron. And I can remember them starting to form that. I called it a demo flight. And that was stationed at Upavon in Wiltshire.
And what did your duties involve there? Were you a corporal?
No, I was still in LAC then. I can't remember. I don't believe... I think I was just back as a LEC regiment gunner there, and I don't think I was a dispatch rider back in this country. I'm not sure, I can't remember that, funnily enough, in detail. But I was there for a while, and then I was detached up to... Some went to Mildenhall, and my flight went up to Waddington to get the American bombers that were still stationed there. I met my wife up there, and then that was finished. Went back to Upavon, and then I got married in 51. Done another NCO's course and become a corporal again, and went training recruits at Dumfries and Cardington near Bedford. And then in my last 6 months before I was demobbed in December 53, I was posted to RAF Thorney Island. I was a sergeant by then, and I was training RAF personnel, including air crew, on ground combat duties.
You said you married in 1951. What was it like being at the services and married? Were you able to? Was your wife able to? Were you able to live with your wife? Or
no, my wife was here. We didn't take married quarters. My wife stayed in Southampton here, and I just come and leave whenever I could. When we were courting before we got married, and I was at Uphaven, I used to bus into Salisbury. And my wife would bus from Southampton to Salisbury, and we'd meet in Salisbury.
Was it hard being separated?
Oh, of course it was, yeah. I mean, I was a regular, so I had to finish my time. I could have stopped in, but my wife wanted me out, so even the dangle of a possible crown to be a flight sergeant wasn't enough to come out, you know, took my demob.
Do you remember the demob process?
Oh, very vaguely. I remember getting my soft hat and a suit, various things. I can't remember it in detail, I'm afraid. Most of that, I think, was wiped out when I got hit in the head in an accident.
Did you find it difficult to adjust to civilian life after you left the RAF?
No, not really. I don't think I did, because I was we were happily married, and I just got on. It was probably, in hindsight, probably was a little bit difficult to settle down, like, you know, but never caused me any major problems. It was just something. I'd seen my time out. I decided to come out, so I came out to be with my wife.
Is there anything that you missed about the RAF?
Well, it's an old cliche, but it's true. You never remember in detail the bad times, but you only remember the good times. I had a good life in the almost 8 years that I did. I was quite happy. And as I said, I met many people then and since. You read the papers, see the television. People absolutely hated the National Service and things like that. I just took it as a learning process, and you went away at 18. Admittedly, I would still say that Glaswegians, people from Manchester, Liverpool, London, were more streetwise, say, than some youngsters from the backwoods. But it would make you, if you were a bit green then, by the time you come out in 2 years, you would learn a lot, and you would end a boy and come out a man. Regulars, of course, were a bit more. We adapted to that life, and we liked it, enjoyed it. I enjoyed it when I was in there. And I was quite happy to come out. I never ever considered rejoining within a certain time at the same rank and all that, which some people did. A lot of people couldn't adjust to civilian life. So if you'd done it within a certain time, forget how long it was, 6 months or years, you could go back in the same rank. And some, of course, did that. Yeah. No, I was quite happy to come out.
Did you have to go on the reserve after you left?
Well, it's on a paper thing. I think it was G Reserve or something, but it didn't mean nothing. Like, you weren't called up in anywhere, nothing like that.
What did you do after you left the RAF?
Well, I'd done a few little jobs, but because I had welded a bit in connection with my locksmithing before I went in, I concentrated in welding, took that up, and worked all over. Many years, including working in Germany, many years before I was retired.
In shipbuilding?
In shipbuilding, pipelines, tank building, all various construction sites. What they call Montage out of Deutsch.